In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
A huge thank you to our sponsors at Karma Cola. Stop laughing, Ellis. Genuinely.
Genuinely. It's not a laughing matter. If there's one thing I want to say about Karma, it's not about laughing.
Well, it is about laughing and having good times. Yeah, sure.
Oh, well, then I've completely misunderstood.
misunderstood it, because they also do some seriously good work in terms of giving and living. Okay, some seriously good work. Yeah, so I'd get off your high horse.
Trying to recover from that moment of pure sincerity. I've never heard you be that sincere ever in your entire life.
When did I say? When you was just, I sincere?
Before you started mocking and going, seriously good work, your first seriously good work was you were literally doing, you were back doing spark ads. That's what it was like.
Oh my God. Okay, well,
big thank you to Karma, who do some seriously good work.
So what's happened is that you've... So what's happened is that you have failed to start a Karma Cola mention... for our lovely sponsors three times,
yeah,
which we haven't included in this podcast.
Failure subjective.
Then to the point where I have to step in and begin talking about it. Then you turn around on me and start criticizing my style.
So far, I can't understand what your problem is.
Thanks, Karma Cola. We'll talk about this off air, Alice.
Oh God!
It's really annoying.
I'm feeling good now. I'm feeling fucking warmed up.
Oh, fuck off! There's really annoying road works going on. It's annoying.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, and I'm sure listeners as well right now sympathizing with you, guys.
No, shut
up. If you have an opportunity, please send your love and prayers to Rose. She's
having
a really tough time.
Oh my God! Stop being so sassy. We're not recording. This is not part of the fucking podcast. I'm not. Here we go. Okay.
Are we really starting again?
No, not. That's the Karma Cola mention. Okay.
We don't have time.
We don't have time. Okay, and we're starting the podcast. Now.
Hey, man, it's so good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. Yeah. I'm sorry, can I apologize up front if the listeners at home can hear some, a saw, a drill, I don't know. You know, one of those big circular saws? I guess circular saw is the term.
Yeah.
They're doing some works on some houses and stuff.
Do you know what I just thought just then? Was what if you were actually murdering a person but covering it up, and then we were all, listening to evidence?
To it. And obviously because it's pre-recorded, you couldn't do anything about it.
Well, that's crazy. If you're listening to this right now,
okay, so this week we are talking about...
Call the police right now. Call them.
Yeah, Do you reckon you could actually murder someone? Do you reckon you have it within yourself to be able to murder someone?
Yes.
Really? Out of, passion, rage, revenge?
I mean, I think it's so I think it's so unlikely. I've never hurt someone before, but I think that every person is capable of that.
Damn.
Do you not think you could murder someone?
I could murder someone out of revenge or self-defense. I guess it's not
self-defense
murder.
Self-defense is
easy.
No, it's not murder. Yeah.
Self-defense or I think revenge, probably.
What I like about revenge is that you've planned it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I planned it.
Most people are I could murder out of self-defense or a passion, which means it happens in the moment. It's completely unpremeditated. You can't control yourself. But you're saying there are only two ways I murder. One, out of self-defense, or two, I spend a long time planning it.
Yeah. Yeah, but the two extremes, aren't they?
Yeah. And then I rationally come to a decision that this is the right course of action.
Rwinge.
If you killed someone, I'd still be friends with you.
Would you visit me?
Yeah, I would. Well, not if like you were in prison in England. Well, not frequently.
Would you represent me?
No, I'd be bad for you, but I'd help you get representation. I'd be in the courtroom and stuff.
Thank
a lot.
You. Yeah, that'd be welcome. Awesome.
And do you have anything you want to say to me?
What did you do today?
No, like, are you gonna support me? If I'm gonna murder, I want to know that you'll be there for me.
Look, okay. First of all, depends on who you murder.
Oh, come on. Don't put a caveat on that. I just gave you my unconditional support.
If you murdered someone close to me, I would support you just because I think I'd get a lot of attention for being such a strong person, for still being there for you.
I didn't think about this. If you murdered someone close to me, I'd find it tough. That's true. It tough. Yeah.
If it was a random person.
The attention and like also people being like, I can't believe your strength right now. Like how you can find a place in your heart to forgive, forgive her. And then imagine, I would be like, yeah.
Imagine the pussy you'd get, you know what I mean? In that courtroom.
Oh my God. You're so right.
Yeah, I know. You got to think about the things that you can benefit from. You got to take care of yourself, you know?
Yeah. And you've got to think.
How is this going to benefit me?
Totally. Prison you'd be an alpha?
Oh.
And how long do you reckon it would take?
I don't know if I'd be an alpha. I don't think I would be an alpha.
Do you know what, weirdly? I think I don't think I'd be an alpha in prison either.
I think we'd both be little cucks.
I would be listening out for overhearing shit so that I could turn people in and get a reduction on my prison.
Oh my God, yes. So much. Yeah, you'd be totally that. You'd be my sewing kit dropping out of my shelves. Little sewing kit, my embroidery kit. You'd be called like Alice the Rat.
Yeah,
Alice the Rat Sneddon.
Oh God! And then someone's gonna kill me in prison. Probably, I'm gonna die in there.
I'd try and protect. If we were both in prison together, I would try to protect you.
I'd abandon you.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
That's
not where I thought it was going. Go on.
Ultimately, like I would try and protect you, but like we'd on face value we would not look like friends. So I think as an advantage, you know, like we would try and spread our sort of influence in two different social circles.
Yeah,
and,
I'd immediately
use that to our gain.
I'd infiltrate the white supremacists straight
away.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, cool.
Gain their trust.
How many white supremacists do you think are in New Zealand prisons?
Probably not enough to be useful.
You probably have to get the ball rolling there.
I have to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, to infiltrate the white supremacists, you'll have to start the white supremacists. You have to start the group.
The thing is, because I'm not an alpha, I'm going to be doing it. You're going to think somebody else has started it. But it's actually going to be me behind the scenes, just kind of like whispering things into people's ears, like planting a little seed, putting a little bit of water on it, watching it grow. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then once it's grown into a big, beautiful tree, standing under its shade with protection. You know what I mean?
You got the smarts, but you don't have the smarts enough to not create a group that you actually don't really need. Just create another nicer gang. Speaking of,
this is perfect. Yeah, what a segue
you're
about to accomplish.
I've got to do a bit, you know what? We're talking about murder, sure. That's a villain. I've really mucked up the segue now because I can't segue from prisons to villains because I don't necessarily I don't think everyone in prison are villains. So, you know, from a moral standpoint, you know, an ethical, I don't believe that. So,
yes, and I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So I think going back, just remember when we're talking about
every
murder.
Every prisoner is our brother and our sister.
every prisoner is our brother and our sister, and that is what Alice is going to be tattooing onto the chest of any people who are looking to join a fun social group, meet in the yard, this exercise lunchtime. That's what I think
exercise
happens in
lunchtime. There'll be snacks. Yeah. I'm going to use my commissary money to buy some like Tim Tams.
Wonderful. I'd love to work in a I'd love to stock a commissary.
Would you?
Yeah, I love stocking things. Let's have a little shop, a wee shop.
Oh my god, that'd be so. Do you know what the ideal dream is? Like you have a say you have a beach house one, like in your life. You know, eventually you get a beach house,
yeah,
in like a little small beach town. You have like one little shop that's open from like 10 till 2 every day.
Yeah, yeah, that's fun. That's ideal,
and you become a cornerstone of the community.
And like the Cruskets are like 7 years old.
Yeah. Because no one ever buys Cruskets.
No one ever buys Cruskets, yeah.
But you're not going to throw them out, because what if somebody moves into town who's a big lover of Cruskets, you know?
That's true. Mike Cruskett himself could be visiting. And he could be like, why is my brand not in this shop? Absolutely. That's kind of like what like Norfolk Island is kind of like. Like everything is so overpriced. Well, I guess it's like Waiheke as well. For international listeners, Waiheke is an island and Norfolk Island is an island. That's all you need to know.
And New Zealand is a small country, the bottom of the world.
Which is also an island. And I'm in England right now, which is an island.
We love it here. We're so proud of what we've got going. We're so proud of it.
Okay, let's get on track. Okay, I've got a game. Let us play a game.
Oh, fun. I love games.
Character work there. We're talking this week about... villains. We've never had bed music behind us, but maybe we could put in some spooky music there. I regret saying that. No, Tim, don't do that. So we're going to talk about villains. So should I run you through a couple of? Should we do a quick fire round? Let's go back to days of the structure we used to have with this podcast.
So this is a classic game of
hot, not. Magnetic, schmagnetic.
You know the rules.
I'll run you through them quickly. Yeah, sure.
If it's a hot person, hot yes. If they're not a hot person, hot not. If they're not hot necessarily, but they've got a magnetic quality about them, they're magnetic. And if they're not magnetic, they're schmagnetic. And you get a combination of two. Do you know what I mean? You'll get a hot yes, but a schmagnetic. And I'd say that kind of person, that's your Keanu Reeves. Do you know what I mean? He's physically attractive, but he's not charismatic. Although I regret that, because he's got a depth to him that kind of draws me in. Anyway, and then,
he does. He's interested in the ancient martial arts.
I know. So I'm going to run you through your pauses, your mutual pauses, your pauses.
Okay. Wasn't there another one now? Group unpause, but that's when we're in a larger group, so that's fine. Yeah, no, that's fine.
Group unpause doesn't apply here. Unless we get interrupted by someone.
Perfect. And then we just will reiterate the rules very, very quickly.
Yeah.
We, for those playing home, hope you've got all the rules there. And please feel free to play at home. Just, sort of say what you think when I'm going through this list.
And those of you who are drinking while listening, please remember to drink every time Rose doesn't play by the rules. And drink every time I execute.
They'll be bloody blotto by the end of this podcast, because I'm bloody blotto,
mate. I tell you what, they'll be off their seats. They won't be staying on them. They'll be falling off them drunk.
Okay, hot or not. Movie villains, hot or not. Okay.
Yeah, take me through it.
The Joker in Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight Batman.
Hot.
Hot yes.
Hot yes. Oh, shit. Hot yes. Fuck, I'm already fucked up.
Pause.
Hot yes.
Mutual
hot yes.
Pause.
Yeah. Oh. Yes.
No. Pause. Wait. Hang on. I've forgotten the rules. But anyway. Would you?
No. Don't just relax about the rules, because we make the rules, okay? And okay. I enforce them. So
I reckon the Joker pause. Would be great at going down on you.
Oh my god! Yeah. Because he's got something to prove, doesn't he?
And he also,
can I just say, in that iteration of the Joker, magnetic as well.
Magnetic.
Given
absolutely.
The option to do good or join his cult, I'm joining his cult.
Fantastic.
Mutual unpause. Mutual
unpause. Hannibal Lecter.
Hot not.
Hot not magnetic.
Not magnetic. Yeah, yeah, good.
Voldemort.
Hot not magnetic.
Oh, I say hot not schmagnetic.
Mm,
Freddy Krueger.
Wrong. Hot not scary.
Okay, scary's not
Mutual
option.
Mutual pause. New pause. Category, scary.
Scary.
Yeah.
Scary. What's the opposite of scary?
Friendly.
Friendly. Oh my God. Okay. Mutual unpause. Pause. Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Hot not schmagnetic scary.
Oh yeah, scary. Okay, Jack Torrance from The Shining.
I don't know who he is.
Well, sorry, Jack Nicholson's character in The Shining.
Hot yes, magnetic scary.
Hans Gruber from Die Hard. Alan Rickman.
Hot yes, magnetic, friendly.
I reckon he'd be friend. I reckon you could take him to a barbecue. If you started going out with him,
yeah,
I reckon
absolutely.
You could totally take Hans Gruber
Mutual
to,
pause.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
To a
well, he's going to make an effort with your friends, isn't he?
Yeah.
I tell you what, he's got a good story to tell. He's not just going to turn up to a barbecue and talk about his accounting job, is he?
He'd be the kind of guy who would be like, look, should we stop at the shop? Should we get a salad? Should we get a garlic bread?
And you'd be like, no, it's fine, honestly. It's fine. Let's just be on time. Like, and then he'd be like, listen, just relax, you know?
Yeah.
He'd be fine. They like you. These are your friends. You know?
These are your friends. They're going to like me. If they like you, they're going to like me. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Fingers crossed,
And then he'll stop into like some sort of elegant bakery, buy some cupcakes without telling you as well. He'll say, oh, got to just get some cash out. And then he'll go and then he'll get something really nice. And you'll be like, Hans, what?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
You can't do that. He's like, I can do that because I love you. And I want to be with you and I want to embrace your friends. Okay.
Is everything okay?
No, I'm just, you know. You know, it's a great thing.
Yeah. It's a nice guy. Can I just mutual pause all I can say is I felt like what started as a broad observation got very specific. Yeah. And I just want you to know that that didn't go unnoticed. Mutual unpause.
Scar from The Lion King.
Oh my God. Hot yes, magnetic, scary, but in a way that I like.
Ooh. Because he's a fucking lion, you fucking sick fuck. Okay. The Eye of Sauron in The Lord of the Rings.
Pause. Don't have an opinion. I don't care for Lord of the Rings.
Quick fire. You don't?
Yeah. Nah.
Wow. It's really disappointing. Bane. The Dark Knight Rises. Hot not
schmagnetic scary.
Pennywise the dancing clown from It.
Oh my God.
Literally the scariest person I've ever seen. Yeah.
Hot not magnetic scary.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
Can't picture her.
What?
I can't picture her.
From The Wizard of Oz?
Pause, can't picture her.
The fucking most iconic looking witch in cinema history.
Well, what does she look like?
She's green, you motherfucker. She's got a big nose and a big black hat.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here. Oh, sorry. Who's playing her?
Oh, my God. Margaret Hamilton, I think, is her name. Off the top of my head.
I'm going to say
and she got massive. She got real bad burns when she was coming out of that weird trap door when she first comes out in Munchkin Land.
No.
If I got that trivia right without checking it, I'm going to treat myself to a bloody, you know.
No, what are you going to treat yourself to?
Not sure. Darth Maul.
Who?
Darth Maul. Darth Maul.
Ugh, no, I don't know who this is either. Okay,
Darth Maul
pause.
From Star Wars.
Mutual pause. I think we're having an issue here. I don't know who these people are because I don't watch a lot of scary movies.
Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Christian Bale.
Yes, magnetic. Ugh. Friendly.
Straight in. You're like, I don't know. Hot, yes. Magnetic. Scary. Yeah, fucking hot. For real hot. I mean, hot in a way that's like.
Yeah.
I think a rewatch of that film, it becomes less horrific through the lens of the fact that it was directed by a great female director.
Was it?
Yeah. Well, I was reading something actually about that. And that it was kind of like, it's kind of a, so I think it's one of those funny things of like some certain characters, like quite fucking male, like machismo kind of, I say it like that because once I checked how to say that, pronounce that on YouTube and that was the voice.
Thank God.
You know, it's like the Don Drapers of the world where like, you know, some impressionable 21-year-old fucking engineering student or whatever commerce student will be like, Don Draper's a fucking man. Not get the like, you know, this I guess maybe satire or like sarcasm of that character, which is like he's an awful person. And so that film, even though Bret Easton Ellis is kind of a douche who wrote the original,
he's a real douche.
No, when I say kind of, he is a fucking douche.
He's a dickhead.
And you can tell it in the books he writes. But it was kind of like almost a joke because the film is like, it's like cuckolding those men rather than, and it's quite great when you watch it again and you're like, she's just teasing these men at how just stupid and shit they are and crazy.
I'm just looking up this woman now, American Psycho in 2000. That was a bona fide hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a critical success. She's not directed anything again until 2005 and then again in 2011.
What's her name again? Amy?
Mary Harron.
Mary Amy. And also, so funny, like, as if I know it, is it Amy?
Amy?
Is it Amy?
Carol? It's Carol. Is it Carol? Here's what fucks me off. That always happens to women directors. They'll come out of the gate strong and then they won't get fucking follow-up offers.
Yeah. I think so. I absolutely agree. I think, also, by the way, recently.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Celebrated 25 years of A League of Their Own. Penny Marshall
I
directed.
I saw that. I was reading an article about this moment of like, because in order to, they had this conflict of it, in order to be, I love Penny Marshall, by the way. She is a pioneer and she does not get enough credit for the impact she's had on the industry. But apparently, when they were writing that, because it's based on a true story, for it to be historically accurate, the team was all going to have to be white and they didn't know like how to get around it. Now I think you'd just do colorblind. I don't know. Do you do colorblind casting for that? And just be like, oh, it's so hard to deal with. Anyway, they had a moment
they do that weird bit where they throw the ball and then, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's always so weird.
To show that there were women who were African American who were as, if not more, capable, you know?
That always seemed like a really shitty, cheesy part of the film, but if that's a consideration they took, that's actually quite...
I think it's better than, like, completely ignoring it in the way that, like, fucking Sofia Coppola's new film is. I was just being like, it's too hard to deal with that. Ugh. like this whole thing, it's like too hard to deal with race and with feminism, so we have to pick one, as if they're both exclusive to each other. It's ridiculous. Anyway.
It's just, it is, I mean, it is funny in that, like, sure, fine, whatever, about that kind of stuff, but also, like, there's a, I guess there's, like, a worry of, like, on one hand, you can feel like, is this tokenistic in that sense that, like, that casting, which is, like, I mean, I think a lot of the time it is. Like, I guess that maybe that's cynical, but it is. Because then, like, because, you know, because there's only, like, you know, a couple of roles for people who are not white. But then, on the other hand, it's, like, it's so funny how, like, the assumption that people can't suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
Or, like, or, you know, or just go, like, yeah, none of this story is real.
Yeah,
like, in that sense
of
the Sofia Coppola one, it's, like, it's bizarre. Because it's, like, those people don't, like, if you're doing, like, you know, historically accurate stuff, like, you cast people who look nothing like the people. And but then also, like, it's still happening when they cast people, like, white people to play brown people. Like, it's astounding that that's still happening.
Yeah.
Like, how are they getting away with that? And I think it's because it's that thing of, like, they're like, well, they really could do the role quite well. And it's like, I feel like your auditioning process is slightly flawed here. It's so, it's like,
it's so true about the suspending disbelief, though, as if people, like, I feel like Hamilton is kind of blowing that out of the water, because like other shows before that, in terms of like Grey's Anatomy, or Shonda Rhimes has always been like, I'm a colorblind caster, but like, it's not, that's all complete fiction. But like Hamilton being based on like true events, and then actively still having a cast of people who aren't white, and people still being able to enjoy that for like its historical relevance as well, like, not, it doesn't like diminish at all the, like, the enjoyment of like, oh, this happened, you know, like, it doesn't stop you and think, hold on, this isn't real.
But that's the thing, is it's like, in that sense, in that context, it's like actors, like, that's literally all their job is to act like a different person. Like, that is literally all they have to do. And that's literally their only requirement, is to act like a different person. And so it's, because, like, and so that, you know, it's the idea of, like, you don't come into a role, like, sometimes with, you know, your, the way you look and, like, your past experience, like, or your personal, like, I guess, history. And you're like, I'm going to definitely imbue this role that's been written for me with everything. Everything that I've experienced. It's just like, it's just, it's bizarre. It is weird.
Yeah.
Sophia Coppola, how did she get away, fucking away with that with a new film? Oh, God.
She's fucking spicy, but she was using the argument of like tokenism, basically being like, I couldn't do it justice while still retaining the focus of the film, so I decided instead not to like deal with it. But I feel like I feel like that's such a weak bullshit, and like maybe her movies could handle more shit if they had more dialogue.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing, though. It's like, it's that argument of like, oh, well, but it's just like historically inaccurate, like in those kind of stories. But I remember watching like a film, you know, Belle, that film with I think it's Gugu and Bertha Rohr. I mean, I've definitely said her last name wrong, but she's awesome. Belle, yeah. It's just like it's a true story about how I think she's. Her mum was from the West Indies. I'll check it.
Yeah.
It's not a true story, basically, of her growing up and, like, you know, like, the fancy white times of England.
Yeah.
Fancy white times of England.
No, that's their technical name. Other people refer to it as the 1700s, I think. But
oh my god! Oh my god! I can't believe I just said that. Let's cut all of that out.
No, let's.
No, she's just like an illegitimate mixed race daughter, basically.
Sure.
And like, but then the fact is, it's like the fact that those, it's almost, it is erasing the idea that those people like, not those people, but people existed in history. Like, even with our generation. I reckon the stuff that we watch when, you know, we were younger, or like just even the films that are made and stuff, it's literally denying the fact that, like, everything you
mean
see
we're watching just a white history. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And that's so...
Oh, yeah, 100%.
As recent as, like, people, you know... As recent as people born when we were born, obviously. We're very young. We're very young still. Don't check our ages on Wikipedia.
Oh, my God. I do not have a Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm neither. Okay, so we got really serious.
Start me a Wikipedia, really serious. Please.
That, do you reckon that was a good ahead. Vibe? Our little serious chat about...
I don't know. It'd be hard to tell, eh?
It's hard to tell. I don't know if that's what the listeners want. Anyway, should
that's
we
what
go
the
into
listeners are getting? Should we do two parts to this episode?
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know, because we haven't even talked about our crushes.
Yeah, well, I don't have much to say about mine.
Oh, fucking hell. All right, let's just...
Well, no, you know we've been what? Going... Okay,
I can
no,
just
no.
feel like Tim is going to, like, you know, he's... Fuck it, who cares?
Just do a longie. We'll just do a longie. We'll do a David Longie.
We'll just do a David Longie. David Longie, for international listeners, the former Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Oh, God. You have 5 minutes to make your case for your boner. Go.
Okay, my boner, my villain is Crispin Glover. And ooh. He's a, oh yeah, yeah, he's a fucking stone cold weirdo and I love him. Now, I'm picking him as a villain from, you might remember him from Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
Yes, where he was kind of always like sniffing the hair.
Yeah, he sniffed the hair, man.
So weird and so creepy. But there's something about his face that's like so striking. Anyway, the reason I love him so much is because he's my favorite ever David Letterman appearance.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Oh my God, it's so good. So he's like clearly high or something and he's like got the suitcase and he's like talking about, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He's like making no sense. And at one point he gets up and kind of pretend kicks Dave in the face, but like almost kicks him in the face. And then God. Dave walks off set. Oh, this whole thing is like a true, like, it's just masterful. I just love it. God. I love it so much.
He's kind of, he might be like an anti-comedy genius.
Maybe that's the thing, it's like so hard to pin him down because he is, you know what, he's Shia LaBeouf of the generation above.
He totally is.
Yeah,
yeah, so because like, he's in your Back to the Futures, he's doing your commercially successful stuff, he's doing
absolutely
that, you know, but then he's getting in some weird shit with Charlie's Angels. He was such a weird choice for a Charlie's Angels
but
wow.
Isn't that so
oh,
cool,
to be fair though?
Though,
oh, I mean, it's not my boner, but fuck, Sam Rockwell.
Oh my God. I
is so.
I reckon he was part of my. He was like. Ugh.
Early sexuality forming.
Yes. When he does the shake and bake in the apartment God. And he like does a little dance when it's like revealed he's the villain. Holy fucking shit. Like I
when he starts
like,
smoking,
oh my God.
He turns around and says, it's a great. You know what? McG. Shout out to McG. It's a wonderful moment in cinematic history. Shout out to McG. It is a beautiful moment. And when he turns, he just kind of spins around with a little cigarette. And Drew Barrymore, she's elegantly draped in a mm-hmm. sheet, a bed sheet, and then the look of realization is just kind of, you know, surfacing on her little cute face, and it happens, and oh my God, oh Sam
it's
Rockwell,
so good.
Fucking magnetic, you know what, magnetic, and like not necessarily like conventionally, I guess attractive, like when I say not necessarily, like everyone in the world is not. Anyone who's conventionally attractive is going to be fucking boring. I stand by that.
Google Sam Rockwell dancing. Oh, yes.
I don't even believe I should just use the... No, actually, I do agree with using the terms conventionally attractive. I hate conventionally attractive people.
Do you really?
I don't trust them. I don't trust them.
Because what have they been through,
What have they been through? You know, what hobbies have they had to develop instead of just being attractive?
Yeah.
I really hope my kids aren't attractive as teenagers. I fucking hope that.
Here's best case scenario. Yeah. Best case scenario is that they feel uncomfortable as a teenager about the way they look almost always and then blossom into an attractive adult.
Yes. Worst case
it's
scenario.
It's important. Worst case scenario, they're hot.
Worst case scenario, they're hot. They don't listen to
you. What are you going to talk to? Yeah, what are you going to talk to them about?
If I was a hot teenager, see you later, mum. See you later. I'm not here. I'm not hearing you out. I'm not giving you the time of bloody day. How am I?
Lesson learned, hey, if you're a hot teenager. Yeah. See you later, mum.
Do whatever the fuck you want.
shit, yeah. God, you need some fucking trauma as a young person.
You really, really do. Just mild trauma.
Just mild, just mild, absolutely. Trauma. I cannot stress enough how much I'm really just talking about mild trauma.
You need, it's a really delicate balance. And I would err on the side of no trauma. Absolutely. But mild case trauma, scenario, I'm talking if very, we can very manage mild it. Trauma. Yeah. If it's manageable.
Very, very mild. Yeah.
Homeopathic vibe of trauma, you know, drop of trauma.
Exactly. Yes.
I
do you want to say who you're talking about?
Oh yeah,
Sam Rockwell. Do you want to say who you're talking about? Fuck yeah.
I
do a good job with Crispin Glover. Also, may I just say what a wonderful name.
What a wonderful name. His late night appearance is one of the subheadings in his personal life in the Wikipedia page. For his,
that's so Crispin good.
Okay, I will go. Okay, so I'll let you know mine. I mean, they are short because, I mean, there's not much to say about them because they're just hot dudes, man. Mine is, I don't know if I talked about him on the podcast before. I'd be very surprised if I hadn't because he's been a very, like, long-time obsession of mine since he kind of gained a bit of notoriety.
Wait.
Yeah?
No, what? I was going to say since he gained a bit of weight.
Oh.
But then very comically I said wait like slightly too long and then you waited.
All right, sorry.
It's a funny moment.
I'm breaking out in hives. Christoph Waltz. Christoph Waltz. Waltz?
Mm-hmm,
Waltz.
Mm-hmm. Waltz.
So he is, I mean obviously you know him from Inglourious Basterds, his first starring role in Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds, not a film that I guess I enjoyed, but I wouldn't really revisit it, like, a lot of times. Sure. But he is incredible in that film. Won a supporting actor Oscar. They went on to win for Django Unchained. Two very controversial films. But I just find him really hot. I find him really, and really creepy that he's, like, I mean, he's a Nazi character.
He is, absolutely.
One. But it's a cartoonish one, right? And fuck, man, he is magnetic as shit. Like,
oh, that much is true. Even in the way he delivers his like acceptance speeches and shit.
Oh yeah, I mean, like he's a. I feel like I was watching him an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with him with Jerry Seinfeld, which is
shame
like
on
it was
you.
Just such a why
Jerry Seinfeld because Jerry Seinfeld is fucking on this hit this podcast hit list.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I forgot that. Well. I'm sorry I gave him the views. Clickbait. All I can say is clickbait. That's my defense.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I did actually go on Google search Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee and watch it.
Fuck, I hate that show. I hate it so much with the passion.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
It kills
it's
me
so
how
bad
it is.
It's like crazily edited. Like all these fucking pornographic shots of coffee. Like it's to the point of like, this must be like a joke. Like this is like some sort of Tim and Eric style shit.
It's not though. That's the thing that's so weird about
it's
it.
Fucking
it's
crazy,
not.
Man. He's gone like, insane.
He's got access to so many funny people, and somehow he manages to make every interview so boring.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, sorry. Carry on.
But then it was funny because Christoph Waltz was so not having it. He took him to an IHOP, and he was so pissed off and just kept talking shit about it. And he's like, I wish I could show you the cafes that I grew up in Vienna. Like, he's just being such a snob about it. And, like, rightly so. I think it's quite funny because I think a lot of, you know, even, you know, people in New Zealand and, myself included, you buy into this weird thing of, like, America being like, oh, my God, amazing, Americana, yeah, cool, man. And then the actual depressing vibe of an IHOP. Seeing Christoph Waltz in an IHOP, you're like, fuck, man, it is actually bleak as shit.
Jesus, there are so many depressing parts of America.
So many. Mostly depressing, I'd say.
I tend to agree with you on that. When I visited Florida, like, it was like, you just drive, it was like everywhere was just like fucking huge department stores.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. Every road felt like a main road. That's what blew my mind.
The only good things about America are like the nice nature.
Nature, sure.
Some of the candy and food.
Yeah, friends.
Friends, entertainment.
The television show.
And
entertainment.
But that's mostly it. That's mostly it.
I really like the iPhone.
Yeah, good.
Technology, though. They're quite good on technology.
Not great on rugby.
Good swimmers.
But anyway, I'll wrap up my point about Christoph Waltz and that. And he's I think he's a wee man as well. I haven't looked actually how tall he is. And we know that I've got a complex about how tall I am and compared to other people. But I mean, sure. We definitely make it work because he's got the personality to fucking fill a room. You know what I mean? He's 1'7", so he's a little bit shorter than me. That's fine. He's got a real sticky outy chin, which is quite attractive. He's got weird teeth, which I like. Good in the beard.
He's so magnetic.
He's just a great actor, and just like he'd teach me things. That's what I like.
Yeah, of course he would.
He'd take me on a walk, and he'd bloody tell me like, "Oh, that's that kind of tree," and I'd be like, "Really?" And he'd be like, "Yeah."
He would. He'd be like, that's that kind of tree. And you know, like he'd like, he's German, but you'd go to an Italian restaurant. Oh, is he Austrian? Apologies. Yeah. But you'd like go to an Italian restaurant and he'd know instantly what every type of pasta was. Like even the obscure ones.
God, he would just know so much about that. Imagine going on some sort of Euro trip with Christoph.
Yeah.
He'd just be.
And like, I think he'd like take you to a cabin in the woods and like he'd start a fire just like based on things he found around him.
Interestingly, I think he wouldn't be amazing at sex, but you would forgive him for that.
No, really?
Yeah.
I think he would be. I was just going to say he's a short guy, but I reckon he's the kind of short guy who's so grounded in his like sexuality and his confidence that he'd be like, you can wear heels. The taller you, the better, you know? Like,
oh, yeah. No, you're right. A little Anne Bancroft, Mel Brooks vibe.
Yes, that's what I was trying to think of. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I think he'd be great at sex. I think you've lost your mind.
Okay.
How do you think he got that wonky jaw? That's from...
That's
you listen, you don't get that unless you are fucking munching.
Going to town. You are going to town. And you know, he's had the injury, but he's not going to let that stop him as well.
Fuck no.
He's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Constantly. I love it. Good on him. Oh, God.
We're awful people. Okay. You know what? That seems like a good place to end. Thank you very much.
What a funny episode.
It was light and dark. There was dark, like light and shade to it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Be sure to let us know how you feel that went.
Serious moments. And then there were, funny moments where we made jokes and had some laughs. thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Thank you so much for listening. Again, you guys, it means the world to me.
We are the most grateful little podcast. We are definitely the most humble and grateful of all of the hosts on Little Empire podcast.
That's true. Never a true statement's been said. Also, I want to say that, like, if in the future I do end up murdering someone, I don't want you thinking that, like, I was kind of, like, planning that now. Like, that event and this event will be completely not connected.
Right.
Well, I just kind of feel like
that will hold up in a court of law. You're okay. The lawyer, though.
yeah. Because I just feel like people will go through, they'll be looking for clues and they'll look at this and they'll be like, there was the first clue. And I just want you to know, like, at this moment, I don't have anything on my brain. So, like, it's not a first clue.
That's great. Well, good luck out there.
Yeah, you too. I hope everything works out well for you. And
and remember to subscribe and rate our podcast. And please do hit us up on Twitter at Boner of the Heart, annoyingly, because there's too many characters to do our full name of our podcast. Thanks.
Fuck, that's annoying.
Thanks, Trump. It's America.
But
go follow us there and also tweet us and let us know what you're thinking about the podcast, what you think we can improve. No, don't say that because I don't respond well to criticism. And any bonus that you want us to, any themes as well that you guys want us to talk about, we're happy to take requests in that regard because we have run out of ideas.
we're happy to consider requests.
Oh, yeah,
don't think that just because you tweet us, you're immediately going to get an episode dedicated to your theme.
That's true. That's so true.
Oh, now I feel bad. I feel like you weren't really backing me up on that.
No, I was just checking my own Twitter. Thanks for listening. Good to talk to you, Alice, as always.
And thank you so much to Karma Cola for sponsoring this podcast and sticking with us through the good times and the bad. We love
the thick and the thin. Love you, Karma.
Me.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.